Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. This show is co-hosted by none other than THP staff writer extraordinaire Dean, and he can be found on the THP forum as well as on Twitter at Dean of THP. Welcome.
Hey, Josh. Good to be back and ready for another show.
The Dean Has Spoken is a new twist on your on-demand audio in the world of golf. We will be discussing equipment, tour golf, the industry happenings, and anything else that strikes our fancy, with the key here being that the Dean of THP will always have the final word. The way the show works is easy. There are 5 topics, 10 arguments, but only 1 right answer for each. And being that he is the Dean, he's going to let you know exactly what that is. So let's get this thing started. First topic, walking versus riding. You know, those that are walkers in general say golf is built on heritage and tradition. Walking is that tradition, and let's not forget the exercise factor. Those for riding are the exact opposite. Traditions change, golf is a social game, and it's more social to talk with your cart partner than everybody walking a different direction to their ball. Plus, don't let the walkers fool you, it's faster. So, Dean, what's your take?
Well, I will say that walking does take longer on most occasions. Yes, there are those rounds out there that's cart path only, and the course sets up better for walkers where you are a little bit faster. But, you know, if I go out on a Sunday morning and I walk, and then the next Sunday morning I go out and I'm first in line and I ride, the round that I ride is going to get done a lot faster. The downside to riding is it costs a lot more. In a game that, you know, price is becoming a big factor, some of these courses, you know, you're looking at another $20 just to play the round of golf by riding when you can walk and save that money and maybe get another round in, you know, the next week if you're price conscious. I prefer to walk. That's how I grew up playing. I've recently gotten back into carrying the bag as opposed to using a click gear. But I enjoy walking for a majority of the rounds. So I'm going to side with the walkers here, but riding's never a really bad way to go either.
You could also look at that extra cost as what your time is worth. So if minimum wage is $48 or whatever we're talking about here, maybe $20, that extra hour or 30 minutes or whatever it takes could be built into that. Now, you know, I understand the walking side of it, and I think geography plays a pretty good role here because, for instance, where I'm from, there's not a lot of courses that are even walkable. So that there is something to take into consideration there. But the Dean has spoken, and he said he falls into the walking category.
You know, just to go back really quick to what you're saying about the courses, there are some courses that really are not set up to walk at all. You know, Josh, when we were out in California, we played a course, and one of the rides from the green to the next tee box took 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's actually a little over a quarter mile.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're walking, I mean, good luck. I mean, that's a long walk to go, and you were up and over hills and through different areas. So there are courses, yes, that you really have to ride because walking is just not feasible.
Next topic, long irons versus hybrids. The debate goes on. The people in the camp for the iron is going to be more precise. They want something that matches their set in terms of look, sound, and feel. And let's face it, with hollow body designs out there and irons in all shapes and sizes, you can pretty much cover the gamut for performance. Those in the camp of hybrids say thinner faces can equal more ball speed. Weight manipulation in the head is easier by design due to the hollow nature, the size of the club head. And it's just a new category that the purist doesn't care for. So, Dean, what's your take? Long irons or hybrids?
You know, this one is a real simple one for me because I've got to go with hybrids. It's easier to get the ball up in the air. Like you mentioned, the whole distance factor, you know, the thinner faces, the extra technology, the more perimeter weighting, so it's going to be a more forgiving club. I like to be able to just have a hybrid. And, you know, I've even started to replace all the way up to a 5-iron now, throwing in a hybrid in the bag. That just makes the game easier. And now there are some clubs out there that we've seen come out. I mean, Ping's calling it a new category with their crossover. It's not entirely a new category. It kind of is for Ping.
That's, you know, category, like calling THP Radio a new category in podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the hybrid body with the iron face for the people who, you know, want that control of the iron. We've seen those out there in other kind of utility clubs. So people who, you know, clamor for, you know, the hybrid or for the iron, but want to maybe try a hybrid, those are out there for them. But long irons, I mean, they're a thing of the past to me. It's all hybrids.
you brought up an interesting take there with, you know, some of the irons and the different categories. And I kind of relate this to what people say when they say GI or game improvement, how there's so many aspects to that now. Because I'll go back a few years and Cleveland Golf came out with a set called the Cleveland Golf MT. And it was hollow body in nature. It was an oversized club head. It wasn't hybrid, but it was a larger club head. And it kind of gained steam on tour really fast with the tour players using it as a low iron replacement. And the take on my take on it was, well, it kind of is a hybrid. It's hollow body, thin face. You know, so I can kind of see what you're saying is there is a club for everybody. And now Ping is basically doing the same thing that they did, you know, 3 years ago and calling it a new category. And maybe it is a new category, but you know, that it is a unique take because I don't think there's a one shoe size fits all kind of thing here.
And not to mention now, I mean, hybrids, definitely people hear them and they have the connotation that it's going to be really a draw bias club, you know, just going after distance. It's going to, you know, put the draw weighting on it. And there are brands out there that have different weighted hybrids for that. I mean, if you look at the Callaway Apex iron or hybrid iron, you know, the weight is more centered to give you a more truer flight as opposed to, you know, what their X2 hot was or their XR hybrid is a little more draw weighted, built towards distance. So these companies do have everything out there for people to try if you're interested in trying a hybrid.
Next topic, and this is going to be a fun one. We're talking early buzz for 2016 drivers. Now, lots of drivers have hit the market this year, and with THP Club Clash just around the corner, some are getting more buzz than others. Now, heading into Club Clash, let's discuss what drivers are getting early buzz and why. While the event does not have a demand or buzz category, I think it'd be foolish to dismiss the idea that some companies' products are more heavily talked about for a number of reasons. So, what is getting early buzz for you? And buzz could mean marketing, buzz could be early reviews from early adopters giving it the thumbs up. What's generating the most buzz right now?
Well, when we mentioned this category, I immediately wrote down a few names. The King LTD, it's been being talked about since last August, well, when it was first introduced, not launched, but introduced. And part of that has to do with Ricky Fowler. You know, he's had a great start to the year. So we're seeing a lot of King LTD stuff on TV, you know, during the golf telecast with Ricky. I think that one has a lot of buzz to it right now. Another one is the XR16. I mean, Callaway has really started to pound home the XR16 as, you know, they're looking for forgiveness and speed, and that's the club that's going to do it. And where I hear a lot of this is actually on radio. Listening to PGA Tour radio, I hear a lot of these Callaway commercials for the XR16 about how they looked up in the sky and they saw, you know, an airplane and they thought, oh, that easily glides through the air just like a club does. So they talk about the collaboration with Boeing. That one's getting a lot of press to me and a lot of buzz.
Before you go on, I have a funny XR16 anecdote. When we did a range test recently with a bunch of guys, one of the guys that was doing the test was a pilot for Delta. And he turned to me and he said, as a pilot for 25 years, if it doesn't say Boeing, I'm not going. And he went out and bought the club immediately following that test, which is ironic. But anyway, back to your buzz story.
The other one that I have is the M1 and M2. I'm going to combine them together because the commercials really are putting them in as a family, which is a good thing for TaylorMade. I think that those two clubs or that M line is getting a lot of buzz as well. So I like those, and I think they're going to be ones that people are going to want to pay attention to and hit at Club Clash.
That's a pretty good list, and you know, we'll get your final take on the early buzz driver here in a second. But one thing I want to mention, the M1 and M2, because they are getting a lot of good buzz. However, I still say, and based on everything I've read from the reviews from the people on the THP forum, on social media and everything else, that people still do believe in a way that the M2 is a replacement for the M1, because that's all the comparisons we're getting. Oh, I hit the M2 further than the M1, or I found the M2 more forgiving than the M1. It's almost like they're not understanding that it's a completely separate driver. You don't hear the same thing, let's say, with Ping GLS Tech versus SF Tech, or Great Big Bertha versus XR16. I still believe that they should have gone a different way with the naming scheme. It's not that it's a terrible club or anything like that. I actually hit it the other day and enjoyed it quite a bit. I mentioned Ping, and I'll kind of – the buzz that they had on the G30 line was through the roof.
Yes.
Whether turbulators worked or didn't work, they came kind of back out and said, well, it's, you know, more for a higher swing speed player and this and that. I don't see that same buzz from the G Series, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know if it has to do with, you know, the whole turbulator thing was G30, and now this one has turbulators and dragonfly technology on the crown, so it looks a little more wild. It's, you know, I have the SF Tech here. I just got done reviewing that. It's a good club. It performs. You know, the dragonfly technology is a little much to look at, but after a few swings, just like, you know, the white crowns back in the day, it goes away. You know, you become numb to it. You're right. They don't seem to have the buzz, and, you know, part of that might be when it launched. You know, G30 launched, if I remember right, in, you know, end of summer, August, September. August. So it really got a little bit of a head start. This one launched more at the PGA show, so, you know, it's being talked about with all of these other drivers. I don't know if that really has a huge thing to do with it, but it could.
I think that actually has more to do with it than you think. And I also do believe that the Ping buyer in general, and I'm speaking as a generality, not for all consumers, is a more conservative buyer. And they are not the early adopter buyer. They buy Ping clubs, and they usually go every other year. In years past, Ping had the G and the I series alternating, and now they don't. So I believe that you will see a generation, I don't want to say skipped, because there's plenty of people who didn't buy G30s who were still on 20s or 25s that'll upgrade to the G series. But I believe you'll see the next line be the bigger seller for them.
Right.
So you've named off a bunch. Who's got the most buzz right now for 2016 drivers? Just right now, and it's just strictly buzz. Has nothing to do with performance.
Right now, I've got to say it's the King LTD. I think that one is, to me, the most buzzworthy driver. Not to say it's better than these other ones that we've discussed, but, you know, if you tie in the Ricky Fowler element to it, you're seeing King LTD all back. You know, the King Cobra is back, even though at this time it's Cobra King, which is kind of awkward. But that's the driver for me. That one just keeps driving home the buzz factor.
It's a good take. I would personally go in a different direction just because, but you know, I say that, they had the biggest mountain to climb, so to speak, based, you know, on sales and buzz from previous lines. So any buzz is going to stand out, and Ricky's playing well, and let's face it, it's a fun story and an interesting technology. So before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all of the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact with both myself and the Dean of THP on Twitter, at THP Golf and at Dean of THP. You ready for the next topic?
Let's do it.
It is rather relevant to our topics on the THP website. Ben Hogan Golf, can they survive long term? Now, on one hand, you have a heritage brand that the name alone brings back many golfers to a different era and one they are fond about. Plus, those golfers are actually ones that have some money and are buying equipment right now. On the other hand, you have a brand that does not own the name as of yet, and they have had two previous brands in Score and Eidolon that didn't go so well long term. Now, I don't want to bring that much into it because completely different story, and I don't want to take away with what they're doing from Ben Hogan, which is some pretty interesting stuff. So let's discuss, and then Dean can give us the verdict.
How long term are we talking?
Well, I mean,
you know, that's the difficult question. I mean, are we talking about a company that, you know, 20 years from now we're seeing is still there, or, you know, 10 years from now is still relevant?
Well, 20 years from now, podcasts won't exist. Instead, we'll be floating holograms talking about golf being played by robots where we just stand there and push buttons,
which sounds
pretty awesome. But let's just say long-term, meaning that they become a golf brand.
Okay.
Right now, they're not a golf brand. Right now, they're an iron brand.
Nope, they're an iron brand. You know, I hate to use the term, but they're kind of like a boutique iron brand, you know, a specialty iron brand. They don't have a lot of stuff out. You know, the stuff they do have is pretty good, the Fort Worth irons. You know, they're more of a blade iron, and that was the message last year. More mass behind the center. It's going to be better than what else is out there.
The hammer versus the dinner plate argument.
Correct. And I like that this year they came out with the PTX irons that are going to be a little more, you know, perimeter weighted. So that's going to draw some more people in, hopefully, for them. The Vector hybrids, You know, we talked with them at the PGA show. They've got a lot of technology built into just those two lines. I'm pulling for them. I'm hoping it takes off because this stuff looks great.
Well, I was just out at Ben Hogan HQ in Texas, and I'm pulling for them because I like the people there. You know, I think Terry's a great guy, and he's made great equipment over the years. And I asked the question, honestly, you know, last year the message was hammer versus dinner plate. This year you come out with a perimeter weighted iron and a hybrid that are both fantastic, by the way. With that said, isn't that completely contradictory of the first message of when you relaunched the brand? And, you know, the response I got was, yeah, kind of. It doesn't take it away from the equipment, and it doesn't take away from anything they're doing. I'm rooting for them. I like what they're doing. I believe, and I say this with no, you know, information of this is coming now or anything else, I believe they'll have a full line by the time the PGA show rolls around next year, and not just an iron brand, and wedge brand, I should say. The PTX is going to get some strong pre-orders, and I believe the hybrid's going to be very strong. So what do you think? I mean, where do you stand on this?
At this point in time, you kind of need to see more from them. If they can come out with, you know, a driver or fairway woods and complete the line a little bit more, I want them to. I love having the Ben Hogan name back around as an equipment company. You know, I grew up, my father had Ben Hogan's, he had Pings, so it's a name that resonates with me. So I want to see them, you know, have this long-term success. Right now, I'm going to say it's a little bit doubtful, but I really hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. For those that hear me take a gulp, this is a call out to my friend Jory Mendez at TaylorMade Golf. I'm drinking an old-fashioned as we're recording this, and he always makes fun of me if I have one of those. So, final topic, Tiger Woods, and it's going to be a good one because we've been talking about this for a little while now. You know, they came out and somebody said, he's can't even stand up and, you know, he's done, blah, blah, blah. So, of course, Tiger being Tiger sends out a tweet with a single swing in a simulator. Interesting swing, too. We knew it was coming. So what does this mean? It said Tiger Woods progressing nicely. What does it mean?
Well, the one thing it means is he could get off the couch and, you know, he doesn't have to ride in the car with the seat reclined all the way back. It was
true,
it
but at the same time, we have no idea when that was even filmed.
No, we don't. I mean, the simulator kind of has a timestamp on it in the upper left corner. But still, I mean, that with technology today, anything like that could be, you know, altered. You know, when Tiger had the back surgery, originally the thought was, all right, maybe he'll be back for the Masters. And then when he had the second back surgery, you know, in the fall, you're like, you know, you heard him at the Hero World Challenge and he didn't sound very good. He sounded down in the dumps, you know, kind of like, guys, I'll get back when I get back. It was a little depressing as a Tiger fan. Now maybe there's a little glimmer of hope. We've seen him swing, you know, and we heard him on his press conference today and on his website talk about how he's been chipping and putting almost daily now.
Which is good because he didn't do that the last time he played actual tour golf.
I mean, he says his short game is strong. So, I mean, it has to be a lot better than it was, that's for sure.
Yeah. The interesting point to me in this whole thing is it's the same thing we've been hearing for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, the message hasn't changed. You know, to me, the whole Tiger Woods controlling the story, controlling the media, when something got out, you had an idea something was going to be coming back from his camp. But, you know, the secret tour pro out there on Twitter started a whole thing about, you know, his status.
And then where it came from?
That's where it came from. I mean,
I don't follow that, and I know a lot of readers do, and I'm sure he's got some great takes. But from each one that's made, you know, I'm doing finger quotes on the podcast, publicity, he's been wrong as much as he's been right. I mean, Sergio Garcia did not change to Titleist. You know, Tiger Woods is not stuck sitting on the couch.
No, exactly. So it's just, it's interesting to me that, you know, and that by the came way, out one day and the next day Tiger came out.
For what it's worth, it's Jeff Ogilvy, but that's neither here nor there. It was Jeff Ogilvy. Now there's a group of people doing it.
Well, I mean, he's got to do something. He hasn't really been playing much golf.
He does have time on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Sada progressing nicely. I have hopes that he'll be at the Masters. They're low hopes. I hope he's progressing better than nicely. I want to see him out there this summer, whether it's the U.S. Open or, you know, just some of the other tournaments. He's not going to be in the Olympics. We all know that's well out of a pipe dream for him now where his world ranking is. But I don't know. The golf is just more fun to watch when Tiger Woods is around and playing well. So I kind of want to see that. I'm hoping progressing nicely means it's getting closer.
Maybe he's progressing nicely towards doing some primetime special with John Daly on the Champions Tour.
I mean, that could work. He's 10 years away from that, so I hope he doesn't sit out for 10
still think
years.
I still think he makes a run somewhere. I originally said Augusta this year. I don't think that's going to happen now. You bet your bottom dollar it'll be a course that he's owned in the past, so he at least mentally can go in, assuming he has a chance to win. But I'm hoping it happens. Now, we're going to segue because, you know, that was our final topic, but we have a bonus topic here and talk about the Masters. Do you know what time it is?
What time it is? It's Florida swing time. We're at Doral. We're, the run up to the Masters.
That's right. It's springtime, and that means the Masters. And let's talk about first a little bit of a contest we have coming up. We are basically, for our Masters contest on THP, you have a chance to win a trip to the WGC and get a VIP treatment. Now, we can't tell you exactly what that contest is going to be, but it'll involve picking some players. And we figured we'd give you guys a head start and discuss a couple of the players. And I'm going to throw out four players to Dean, 4 to 5. And he's going to tell you, in his expert opinion, which is as good as gold, how he thinks they're going to fare. First up, Phil Mickelson.
You know, at the beginning of the year, we talk about Phil's expectations for the year, and I didn't really have high expectations for Phil. I think he plays for one tournament a year, and that's the U.S. Open. You know, he's come out of the gates, and he's playing extremely well. He's getting a lot of birdies, and whenever he pulls into, you know, Magnolia Lane or Magnolia Drive, he's ready to go, and he feels like he could win. I think Phil makes a run at it this year.
Bubba Watson.
You know, the course is kind of made for him now, isn't it? He was very impressive at Riviera. We'll see what he does at Doral this week. The course is made for him, and it's, you know, the opposite year. You know, every other year he seems to win it, so he'll be a contender.
Dustin Johnson.
DJ always plays really well, seemingly on Thursday and Friday at the Masters, and then, you know, we don't see him anymore. He gets to 15, and he'll dunk one in the water, and that'll be it for him. We've seen that story, you know, the last few years. I think it was last year, though, he had his highest finish at the Masters, and I'm not sure he's there yet. I don't expect him to compete at the Masters this year.
Jason Day.
Jason Day's another one. He finished the year extremely hot. You know, he rattled off 5 wins and, you know, took on the PGA Championship. He's not playing that good to start the year. I saw somewhere that he had a conversation with Tiger Woods about getting his killer instinct back. If he gets his killer instinct back, look out.
What does that do? Because he doesn't have a lot of career wins.
I don't know. That's what he was saying. If he needs to get he had the killer instinct at, you know, after he left the putt short at the 72nd hole at the Open Championship, something clicked for him and he started being a little more aggressive. Whether it translates into wins always, I don't know. It did for him at the end of last year. He plays pretty well at Augusta National, so
that he does.
He's a guy you have to look out for.
And finally, he's got to be the favorite, Jordan Spieth.
I'm not feeling it for him this year. You know, he's had 2 good runs at the Masters. He came in second 2 years ago and obviously won it last year. I think it's difficult for these guys to have a repeat performance, as a defending champion. Bubba Watson talked about it. Adam Scott talked about it. Adam Scott put out a great run to become the first back-to-back champion since Tiger Woods did it. And there just seems to be a lot of pressure on these guys, a lot of time they have to spend doing all these extra things, the Masters dinner, the extra press. I don't see it for Jordan this year, but, you know, that doesn't mean he's not going to play well.
There you have it, folks. That is Dean giving us his rundown on some of the big names heading into the Masters. And before we go, I'm sure Dean and a lot of our listeners have heard another THP radio show called The Golf Industry Uncut. And one of the segments there is a little something we have called Fire Away. 10 topics, first thing that comes to your mind, nothing to do with golf. And we decided we're going to put Dean on the hot seat here. Are you ready?
I didn't even know there was another podcast going on this channel. I thought it was just us.
Yeah, we had to increase the ratings with some big name guests.
Oh, man. All right, let's hot seat it up.
That sounds weird.
Ask the questions.
First up, favorite pizza topping.
You know, I'm a mushroom and sausage guy on pizza.
Okay, that actually caught me pretty off guard. Okay, you're a fan of both of these teams. Which fans are worse, Yankees fans or Cowboys fans?
Cowboys fans. I don't even think it's close. It's Cowboys fans.
Best Seinfeld episode ever.
Oh, man, off the top of my head, I think I might say Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Oh, that is a good one.
Hot dog. I'm seeing him tomorrow night, by the way.
Kenny Rogers?
No, Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Hot dog toppings that are acceptable.
Morgan's going to hate me, but ketchup and mustard and chili.
I like that. Don't forget the cheese and onions, however.
Yes.
You're eating healthier right now. So if you have a cheat day and you're on vacation, what's the meal?
Probably Mexican. I've been craving a chimichanga. We go out for all this Mexican stuff, and I have to stay away from the chimichangas. You know, they're nice. They're deep fried and just filled with deliciousness.
That's actually a pretty good one. Okay, are you a road rage kind of guy?
I get angry from time to time, but I'm not one that really has a lot of road rage.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I'm going to say it's a toss-up between Rocky and Jaws.
It's funny you mentioned Rocky. The next question is, what's the best Rocky movie ever? There is a correct answer, by the way.
I know everyone likes to say Rocky IV is the correct answer, but that's not the answer. I'm going to say Rocky II is my favorite Rocky one. That is the correct answer. There we go.
If you have a chance to interview one of these two members from the Zoo Crew, who do you choose and why? Jeff Newbarth or Scotty G?
I'm going to say Jeff Newbarth because I originally went to school for broadcast communications. So the tie-in there with Newbarth is pretty cool.
And for those that don't know Dean personally, he knows a little bit about Yankee candles. So what is the best-smelling Yankee candle ever?
The best smelling Yankee candle ever is one that's discontinued, and it was called Stormwatch, and it smelled like a summer night after a rainstorm came through. That one was my favorite. Clean Cotton is a good one that I always keep in the car to keep the car smelling better, but Stormwatch is the one for me.
I'm not going to lie, you've never sounded stranger than you did during that last segment.
Well, I mean, these questions, I don't know.
There you have it, gang. Another episode of The Dean Has Spoken is in the books. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And, of course, follow along on Twitter at THP Golf and at Dean of THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to The Hacker's Paradise so you never miss a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken, The Golf Industry Uncut, or any of the other THP radio shows. And don't forget to leave a review with your thoughts in iTunes with what your favorite THP radio show is. So myself and, of course, Dean, we hope you enjoyed this new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. So long, everybody.